Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this second midweek Lenten service is our gospel reading, which I will read for you in just a moment, but it's St. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. Then an expert of the law stood up to test him, saying, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he asked him. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," he told him. "Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, And who is my neighbor?" Jesus took up the question and said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to the hands of robbers. They stripped him, beat him up, and fled, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. In the same way, a Levite, when he arrived at the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, on his journey, came up to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend.' Which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" "The one who showed mercy to him," he said. Then Jesus told him, "Go and do the same." This is the word of our Lord, and so we pray. May the meditations of our hearts and the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you, O Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I need to read it again to you in parts, and so you will hear it. This is verse 25 through 28. Then an expert in the law stood up to test him, saying, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he asked him. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," he told him. "Do this, and you will live." Do this, and you will live? Yeah, right. What does Paul say about that? This is coming from Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 19. "As it is written," says St. Paul, "there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. All alike have become worthless. There is no one who does what is Their throat is an open grave. They deceive with their tongues. Vipers' venom is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Ruin and wretchedness are in their paths. And the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are subject to the law, so that every mouth will be shut, and the whole world may be subject to God's judgment. Do this and you will live?" Who? Me? Who? You? I don't think so. And as no matter how hard we try, we fail. And so, what is failure? Sin? What is earned by sinning? Death? Life if you do, death if you don't, yes, do this and you will live. But he, verse 29, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Don't you just love lawyers? I mean, you know, when we're in trouble, it's good to have one, but they're always angling, and this is good for us too if we need it, but they're angling for the loophole. And if there is none, they usually try to make one up. This is the flesh in action. We are all lawyers, actually, because the law of God is written on our hearts from birth to death. That is why society is based on law. It should be no surprise. That is why we have all those cop and legal shows like Perry Mason and Law and Order, to just name two. Sandy's not here. She'd appreciate that Perry Mason reference, but that's really what the majority of the shows are, right? Law and Order type, Perry Mason type shows. Well, I mean, the other ones are doctor and hospital shows too, to try, what are they doing? They're fixing the mess that we have made, to find another kind of loophole perhaps to get us out of that death sentence, the curse that we're in for not keeping the law. Yes, we are all lawyers at heart, and living up to that stereotype of it too. I mean, really, what do we do? But we, desiring to justify ourselves, said, I mean, come on. Who's our neighbor? I mean, who do you mean? Is there a loophole in God's law? No. Jesus even proves this when he goes up against the best lawyers there were. Jesus points to the sins that were happening in their minds and hearts. But good lawyers, they were. I remember a Catholic priest telling me, I think he actually was a bishop, that I was thinking about this. I worked right out of college, and they were putting computers in all of, this is in the 80s, they were putting computers in all of their churches. But I remember talking with, it was the bishop, and he was telling me that if he got into a real legal bind, he would hire 4 Jewish lawyers. But he forgets. The Roman Catholic Church is little different than the Jewish Church of Jesus' day. Just read some of the history of the Middle Ages and of Luther and all that went on there. They have just as much canon law as the Jews had of Talmudic law. And we are no different. Who is my neighbor indeed? We don't know. But we are always trying to justify ourselves, to excuse our own actions as good Lutheran lawyers. But no one will be justified in his sight by the works of the law, because the knowledge of sin comes through the law. With sin comes wrath. Ours toward God for having come up with his laws, and his wrath toward us for not keeping them as we were made to do so. So who is our neighbor? Any and all. Yes, even your enemies. Even those people you don't like, just like the Jews and the Samaritans. They were cousins, you know. Yet each thought they had the right to be called the real Jewish people. But who was the more Jewish or the more Christian? Jesus took up the question and said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him, beat him up, and fled, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, a true Jew, right? When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. In the same way, also a Levite, when he arrived at this place and saw him, passed on by on the other side too. But a Samaritan, those good for nothing, those following the cult of Samaria, right? They're like Mormons to us. But a Samaritan on his journey came up to him, and when he saw the man, he had compassion. He went over to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on olive oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, "Take care of him. When I come back, I'll reimburse you for whatever extra you spend." Now wait, a Samaritan would never do that. Well, they would say a Jew would never do that. They're all swindlers and cheats, good for nothing, low lifers. Are they all, really? Are all Cretans liars, as Paul said? And Levites and pastors and all our church elders, what about us and you? Would you do what the Samaritan did? Or would you be like the priest and the Levite? Would you walk on past, drive by as if that guy did not even exist? Pretend you saw nothing. If it were a fellow Lombardian or Glen Ellenite. What if they were not of the best sort? What if you did not like their family? What if they were part of your own family? Maybe that's the end of Uncle Joe visiting on Thanksgiving. But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" So you answer Jesus' question, "Who?" And then he asks, "Which of these 3 do you fell into the hands of robbers?" So who is your neighbor? Anyone who is in need of help, which is a lot of the time, a lot of people, even your enemy. He said, "The one who showed him mercy." And Jesus said to him, "You go and do likewise." And Jesus says this to you and to me. Why? I mean, how can we do this when we cannot even do all the other commandments? The answer lies in just who these actors in this story happen to be. Who is the Samaritan? Jesus, of course. Who is he's the one that's the outcast. He is the one that they can't figure out his lineage. He is the one that was born in a feed trough. He's from Nazareth. Anything good come out of Nazareth? Who is the beaten and dying man? That would be us. Cannot do the law, and so we must die. And before that, beaten and bleeding, we do seem to be all, as we do seem to be all too often, but dying we are. And then Jesus comes along, the Samaritan Jesus, and says, "No, I will be in there, in your place. Take your place. I will be beaten and die for you. I will also pay the innkeeper and bandage you up. Then I will come back and rescue you from all your enemies." That is, that flesh that loves sin and the devil to death, which is the world. And only then, when he takes each of our places, only then can we go and do likewise. Not because we need to earn something from God to be justified. We cannot. Because Jesus already has. We don't need to. We do it because, like the Samaritan, we have nothing to prove. We are not part of any goody-good Israel, holier-than-thou, church-going, Bible-thumping hypocrite. We are just rescued sinners ourselves, going about the streets, about life, how about being about our Father's business, like Jesus, like the one from Nazareth. And so when we come across people like us from across the tracks, we lend a hand. Everyone's from across the tracks, you know. Why? But because that is what rescued sinners do. That is what sons and daughters of the Father do. No, we don't just trust in our own ability to do this all that well. We trust in the original Samaritan, Jesus, the outcast, the non-Jewish Jew. Yes, him. Who, Jesus, who died like one, worse than a Samaritan. There was never anyone who was worse than Jesus once he was on that cross. No one looked as bad as him. No one ever smelled as bad to God. No one ever carried that much sin ever, 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 or ever will. There was never that much sin in one place, ever. No one died like him, a sinner, disowned by all his people, all of Israel, just like the Samaritans were. I mean, the Samaritans were just as bad, but Jesus was talking to the Jews. Roman Catholics are just as bad, but Jesus is now talking to us Lutherans, to you and me. So yes, go and do likewise. We don't need to justify ourselves. Don't instead just be condemned as a sinner deserving death. No, I'm serious. You are, I am. We deserve all and any punishment devised. You and I must accept that. This is what God says about us. You and I both. When we can say, said about us. But sometimes we need to have it said about us. If you don't, he won't. If you don't plead guilty of it all, Jesus won't absolve you, forgive you of it all. He won't justify someone who is not a sinner. You cannot be saved if you insist that you are not all that bad, not as bad as a Samaritan. You insist on justifying any least sin you have done or left undone, whether this is just in a thought or a dream, an idea, a very quiet desire. Don't justify yourself. We don't need to. Jesus did and does and will. He will and is. He did. Listen to St. Paul again. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. No more Samaritan and Jew. No more Lutheran and Catholic. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift. To the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You are justified by his grace as a gift because of Jesus. Now you go and do likewise. Now we can be part of this, his rescue mission, helping others like us, other sinners who have fallen by the wayside, who are near death, who are our neighbors. You who have been lifted up, bandaged, fed, and cared for with enough money to keep us until heaven, until his return, until he makes it so that there will never be a danger of this ever happening again. But it is, even now, safe to walk, to go about our world as Jesus is taking the brunt of it all. The worst that ever can be done was done to him for us. It will harm us none to stop and come near those in need of rescue. Thank God someone has. The peace that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.